This is a replay of the Tuesday night, July 29th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together. We'll talk about a lot of things, and of course, one of them will be Tom Blair. And at 97 years old, it was a life well lived, but he will be missed. It's hard to believe that it's been well over 50 years since he wrote anything musically that we would affectionately know of his work. But it doesn't matter. In those in that scant decade, there were so many wonderful things. And of course, used to love one of the few things I would watch on television, TW3. That was the week that was, which was just hilarious. Now, it's interesting to tell you how good Tom Blair was in terms of putting together a sentence to music. I disagreed with pretty much everything the man stood for politically and more, and yet loved his songs. He was just as clever as could be. And so, of course, we'll play some of them, including, of course, some having to do with math. Yeah, I love new math. We'll get to that. Because, of course, that was nearest and dearest to his heart, where he, for the last 50 years of his professional life, was teaching. And at Santa Cruz, like the weather, don't you know. And, graduated Harvard at 15. A year later, got his master's degree, and then went back a few times for that PhD, but realized he really didn't have anything he thought to contribute, so he said, oh, the heck with it, and that was just fine. As far as what did kids think about him in class, it was a mixed bag. Some people actually found him boring, which is hard to believe if you listen to his music, but some said he was uninspired and boring. Other people thought he was just terrific and well-organized and everything in between. And he not only taught mathematics, but really arithmetic, too, when you get right down to it, because he was tasked with teaching some math for non-math majors courses, which were, as far as I'm concerned, memorable, but nonetheless, 97 years old, died in Cambridge. He had been splitting his time between Cambridge and California after he retired in 2003. But man, I'll tell you what, those songs, and they're all in public domain, by the way. But don't be confused. Those that actually were recorded to disc, the label still retain the rights to that. But as far as the songs themselves, 100% in public domain. And as he said when he put it there about 5 or 6 years ago, don't send me money. All right, so that's right, even posthumously. So we'll get to all of that, because that's a lot of it. But we've got both Adam and Bob in the control room tonight. That's right, it's the Quinella. And I'm thrilled about that. Maybe between the two of them, I'll actually remember to take a break. But with that in mind, Bob had sent me an article that I said, this can't be right. Now, everybody knows that all of the various fast food places are in a race between one another to have the most affordable meal, because, of course, prices have been rising over the years. And so you see meal deal this and meal deal that. And now you see the $25 meal deal. Well, if you're in Chicago, it's actually $14.99. But if you're in California, $25 for the meal deal. What do you get? You get 40 pieces of unknown chicken. Okay, chicken McNuggets. That's right. 40 pieces of chicken McNuggets. Two large orders of French fries. No drinks. Nothing else. You get 6 sauce packets. And that's it. For $25. Well, I'll tell you what, people in California are just up in arms about this, and I don't blame them. Now, I know even with their $5 meal deal, they tend to stick McNuggets into everything, and I, for one, cannot identify them. I don't eat what I can't identify. But regardless, who would pay that? Well, apparently, it's very geographical. If you're living in places like Wyoming, it's a deal. You'll be paying almost 18% below average. In Alaska, that's 24% above, but everything's higher in Alaska. But, for instance, a Big Mac in Lee, Massachusetts, is $7.29. The same burger in Manhattan, $5.99. So it isn't always what you think. Now, why is California selling these for $25? Well, it isn't lost on me that this coincides directly with a new law going into effect that minimum wage is now $20. You do the math. You don't even need a Tom Lehrer record for that. And so you've got a number of things. But when you look at the regional price differences, it's utterly surprising. That same Big Mac, $3.50 in Oklahoma, that in Connecticut is $10. All right. Now, if you go for the meal deal in Connecticut with the Big Mac, that's $19. Yeah, this is why I say, well, let's go through the drive-thru and get an estimate on a meal. You almost have to. So if you're living where McDonald's prices are 20% higher than the national average, well, 20% higher today, but you're spending $40 for a typical meal that costs just $25 in the same location pre-pandemic. Yeah, it's like that. So you've got a number of customers that are saying they still have ways to save. Yeah, like the apps. Oh, please. And the summer value promotion. The $5 deal meal, that's the one I was talking about, where you get a sandwich, you get a small fry, and then you get these 4-piece McNuggets. What are they? All right, yeah, I don't want to know. So you've got others that are doing local specials as well. But the bottom line is that's one of the franchise agreements that the franchisors can, in fact, manipulate the prices to a better degree than you might expect. And part of that is because of the market differentials and all that. But when I used to drive regularly on I-70, a truly boring interstate, what I discovered was don't stop at McDonald's in Vail. Vail, by the way, is 3 interstate exits with a thyroid condition. That's really it. And a reputation, but never mind. At the second exit, they've got a McDonald's. And it's convenient, right? You made it through Denver. You're on your way to Grand Junction. Nobody should be, but nonetheless. So you pull into McDonald's. No, it was always ridiculously high compared to other places. And I'd say that to people, and they'd say, oh, no, that can't be right. Well, apparently, it can be right. And now the $25 meal deal, yeah. 40 pieces of chicken McNuggets. Uh-huh. All right, so there you have it. All right. Suddenly, I'm not hungry at all. All right, so 888-876-5593. We will devote many of our bumpers to Tom Lehrer tonight, and we'll also talk a little more about him. So, remarkable guy, as far as I'm concerned. And again, a tribute to his way with words that literally, I was polar opposite of this guy. But I just loved every one of them. All right, so we've got, kicking it off, Eduardo in Tampa. What's up tonight, Eduardo?
Hey, Riley. Well, before I get into my Renko thing I saw on CBS Saturday, so what do you think about this big wave coming up the West Coast?
Oh, I guess I should have mentioned that. And so why didn't I open with the tsunami that's coming to Oregon? Well, because it's already been to Hawaii and the surf was 1 to 3 feet. I said, wait a minute, that's a low normal day in Hawaii. What's going on here? So, you know, unless I'm missing something, this seems like a lot about nothing.
Okay. So the news overreacting.
Well, like I say, the fact that it had already passed Hawaii, I said to John, because he mentioned it, we talked about it, I said, do me a favor, if it's hit Hawaii already, let me know what the surf was. And when he said 1 to 3 feet, I said, all right, game over.
Yeah.
Let's see. But what, I guess I should look at what are the predicted waves for Oregon. I don't know. I'm not that excited about it. And by the way, if you're wondering, this will be after this show is over by about 40 minutes, about 11:40 Pacific time. With maximum, now here you go, with maximum projected waves of 1 to 2 feet. Oh my. So what? All right.
Yeah.
Maximum
that's
waves
regular
of
surf,
one. Right, really? Well, you know, when you're talking about Oregon, there's not much beach anyway. A lot of that's, you know, craggy rocks and things like that. You don't get down to the beach. But tsunami alerts, and you're talking 1 to 2 feet. Now, as far as the earthquake in Russia, that was an 8.8 quake, so that was a pretty big deal. But as far as anything happening here, well, the National Tsunami Warning Center, which is appropriately based in Alaska, has done tsunami warnings for the Aleutian Islands and portions of the West Coast, California, Oregon, Washington, and Hawaii. Yeah, for a foot wave, no. They're expecting 2 feet maximum anywhere on the coast. And this is a news story. We are having a slow news day.
Yeah, like NHK, which is the Japanese, they got some areas in red. So I think one of your listeners is from Japan, so you might have an update on that.
Yeah, Naoto might be able to weigh in on that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, let me request my song here before I get into Renko. The Thompson Twins, Lay Your Hands.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. One of them missed medical school, and the other one missed a career in radio broadcasting.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Good enough. Be happy to.
Yeah. So this Renko, I saw this over the weekend. So it's made out of recycled glass, plastic, calcite. It could withstand 200 miles per hour.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they put me on, but.
Yeah.
They said they could build like 16 homes a day. Renko.
Is this the bottle house? The guy who made the house from the 6,000 glass bottles?
I'm not sure about that, but the guy used to be in politics. His name was, I think, Patrick Murphy, something like that.
All right.
He was a Democratic congressman from Florida.
Yeah.
He's one of the founders of this.
Okay. And so...
It's called Renko.
Yeah, Renko. Renko USA. And this has been around a little while now. Of course, they're saying it's hurricane proof. Well, you'll only know that for sure after the hurricane. So
Ryan.
Yeah, they're a Miami-based company, and I guess they're doing it like Lego blocks. They're not doing it like the guy
but
another guy in Florida built one entirely out of bottles. And I haven't heard much about that, but apparently they have completed a housing complex, no less. And, I'd be curious to hear about some of the stories from the neighborhood after a year or so.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, extremely resistant to wind damage. Well, that's good. Now, what about water damage? And well, we'll see, I guess. And,
floods, right.
Yeah. How about that? So, good for them, I guess. Now I want to go to the developer and find out, can I see, like, floor plans and all that? Let's see. That'd be interesting. So, Renko USA. All right. So, yeah. I'm going to look this up. See if I can get a sales brochure from this. Palm Springs, Florida. All right. Let's see. Yes. 96-unit apartment complex with innovative interlocking composite building blocks. 11 workers with a mallet and glue gun. Oh, yeah, I want to move in that. One of the top floors. Let me sign me up. Yeah, all right. So that's the deal, revitalizing the future of construction. This actually, I think, opened over a year ago. So I guess now it's in the news. But this has been there for a year or so. So now I don't know if they're still putting out brochures and stuff like that. But yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, let's see after the next hurricane, do like a follow-up story on that. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. Well, even a few years, let's get pictures, you know. So, yes, Lakewood Village in Palm Springs, Florida. 3 bedrooms, 2 baths. Looks like any other apartment, but the walls are Lego blocks. Well, that's just great. Now we also have another one. Artiquitania. I'm sure I pronounced that wrong. That's another company that does this stuff. And apparently they're using Renko's proprietary information, don't you know? So there you go. From the outside, looking at these pictures, I'm holding them right up to the microphone. Not that you'll see them, but they're certainly not memorable. Because of course, think about it. If it's like Lego blocks, you know, these buildings right. are basically pretty square. There's, you know, as far as that goes, there's not a lot of architectural features in these. But real life Lego kit. But it's been there. Like I say, it's now been there about a year and a half. So I wonder okay. how people like living in it. I don't know. I'll try to find out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stay tuned after the next hurricane. Yeah. They'll do a follow-up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. Are you coming up to the news and get some more callers here? So thank you very much,
Appreciate
Robert.
The call.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. That's great. All right. So 888-876-5593. We got a Tom Lehrer song coming up next. One of my favorites, actually, and it's not about meth on WGN Radio.
One of the big news items of the past year concerned the fact that China, which we call Red China, exploded a nuclear bomb, which we called a device. Then Indonesia announced that it was going to have one soon, and proliferation became the word of the day. Here's a song about that. First we got the bomb, and that was good, because we love peace and motherhood. Then Russia got the bomb, but that's okay, because the balance of power's maintained that way. Who's next? France got the bomb, but don't you grieve, because they're on our side, I believe. China got the bomb, but have no fears, they can't wipe us out for at least 5 years. Who's next? Then Indonesia claimed that they were gonna get one any day. South Africa wants two, that's right. One for the black and one for the white. Who's next? Egypt's gonna get one too, just to use on you know who. So Israel's getting tense, wants one in self-defense. The Lord's our shepherd, says the psalm, but just in case, we better get a bomb. Who's next? A Luxembourg is next to go, and who knows, maybe Monaco. We'll try to stay serene and calm when Alabama gets the bomb. Who's next? Who's next? Who's next? Who's next?
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That, of course, Tom Lehrer. And that was The Flip Side of Pollution. They put that out as a single, actually, in the 60s as well. That was just terrific. Anyway, we'll be playing more Tom Lehrer, taking more of your calls. We got Marianne and Dee Dee. She's going to give us an update on the Russian earthquake. All right. Doesn't look like much here, but there, maybe so. All right. So we'll find out for that. And we got Laura and Jan and Jim in Richmond. And as I free up one line, there is one line available for you on WGN Radio.
May have perhaps been put in the embarrassing position of being unable to do your child's arithmetic homework because of the current revolution in mathematics teaching known as the new math. So as a public service here tonight, I thought I would offer a brief lesson in the new math tonight. We're going to cover subtraction. This is the first room I've worked for a while. It didn't have a blackboard, so we will have to make do with more primitive visual aids, as they say in the ed biz. Consider the following subtraction problem, which I will put up here. 342 minus 173. Now, remember how we used to do that. 3 from 2 is 9, carry the 1. And if you're under 35 or went to a private school, you say 7 from 3 is 6. But if you're over 35 and went to a public school, you say 8 from 4 is 6. And carry the 1, so we have 169. But in the new approach, as you know, the important thing is to understand what you're doing rather than to get the right answer. Here's how they do it now. You can't take 3 from 2, 2 is less than 3, so you look at the 4 in the tens place. Now that's really 4 tens, so you make it 3 tens, regroup, and you change a 10 to 10 ones, and you add them to the 2 and get 12, and you take away 3, that's 9. Is that clear? Now instead of 4 in the tens place, you've got 3 because you added 1, that is to say 10 to the 2, but you can't take 7 from 3, so you look in the hundreds place. From the 3, you then use 1 to make 10 ones, and you know why 4 plus minus 1 plus 10 is 14 minus 1, because addition is commutative, right? And so you got 13 tens, and you take away 7, and that leaves 5. Well, 6, actually, but... The idea is the important thing. Now go back to the hundreds place. You're left with two, and you take away one from two, and that leaves... Everybody get one? Not bad for the first day. Hooray for new math. New math. It won't do you a bit of good to review math. It's so simple, so very simple, that only a child can do it. Now that actually is not the answer that I had in mind, because the book that I got this problem out of wants you to do it in base 8. But don't panic. Base 8 is just like base 10, really, if you're missing two fingers. Shall we have a go at it? Hang on. You can't take 3 from 2. 2 is less than 3, so you look at the 4 in the 8's place. Now that's really 4 8's, so you make a 3 8's, regroup, and you change an 8 to 8 1's, and you add to the 2, and you get 1 2 base 8, which is 10 base 10, and you take away 3, that's 7. Okay? Instead of 4 in the 8's place, you've got 3 because you added 1, that is to say 8, to the 2, but you can't take 7 from 3, so you look at the 64's. 64. How did 64 get into it? I hear you cry. Well, 64 is 8 squared, don't you see? Well, you ask a silly question, you get a silly answer. From the 3, you then use 1 to make 8 1's. You add those 1's to the 3, and you get 1 3 base 8, or in other words, in base 10, you have 11, and you take away 7, and 7 from 11 is 4. Now go back to the 64's. You're left with 2, and you take away 1 from 2, and that leaves... Now, let's not always see the same hands. That's right. Whoever got 1 can stay after the show and clean the erasers. Hooray for new math. New math. It won't do you a bit of good to review math. It's so simple, so very simple, that only a child can do it. Come back tomorrow night. We're going to do fractions.
All right, so Tom Lehrer, and rest in peace, Tom Lehrer. But yeah, he left us with a wonderful body of work, even though for the last 50-plus years, he wanted absolutely nothing to do with it. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and we're talking about a number of things. I've been looking about this, this tsunami because apparently... Now, Hawaii has canceled the tsunami watch. It was a watch. And from what I hear, 1 to 3 feet maximum. But Miriam in Seneca has more to the story. So, Miriam, welcome to WGN Radio. Miriam.
Yes.
All right. What do you know?
I've been texting my daughter. And she lives on Oahu in the islands. Mm-hmm. And they have been... Well, she sent me a video, and the sirens were going off, and her husband are packing a go bag, and they have to go inland because it's still serious over there.
When's the last time you heard from her?
Maybe 20 minutes ago.
Really? Now, that's interesting because, as I say, what they're saying online is that the warnings have been canceled after further analysis. So that's interesting that she's sitting there having to leave her home when publicly they're saying, oh, canceled warning. So hopefully things have changed there and she doesn't have to go.
Well, they're pretty close to the beaches, and her husband is in the Army.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, yes, they were having to go inland, and I asked her where they were going to go, and they're going to a friend's house inland.
Okay. Wow.
But
since this afternoon, has she witnessed a lot of activity?
Well, she was on her way. There's a 5-hour difference between here and over there.
Right.
And she was on her way home from work, so yeah. I don't know. I've been panicking about it myself, but I told her to be careful and, you know, take care and do what they tell you to do. And she said they're telling them to leave if they're close to the beach.
Yeah, well, there you go. Well, that's, you know, obviously she's going to follow advice as well. She should. But from what I can tell, everybody who's reporting in online and it so far, and of course, you know, it's the internet, take it with a grain of salt. but is that they're saying that it did not materialize, not the way the sirens and all that. Oh, yeah, they went off, all the warnings and all that. But people are saying, no, it hadn't really happened. So hopefully that's the case.
Well, and I was watching the news at 10 o'clock, and that's one of the lead stories was they were showing a box around the islands and...
Oh, sure.
I don't know.
Well, you know, that you always see. It's sort of like the Weather Channel. When there's some disaster somewhere, they'll take the same block, the one block that's hit, and have it from 15 different angles, and you think that Chicago disappeared or whatever. So I don't know that I'm too worried about that. But she hasn't lost communication because she's talking with you, and she'll...
She was texting, yes.
Yeah.
We were texting back and forth.
Right,
so.
Right.
So, but everybody listening will just keep our hands folded and pray for that it doesn't come back.
Absolutely, because when they were first putting those warnings out earlier this afternoon, they were expecting waves of 13 feet, and they
right.
were, you know, all the evacuations warning. But so it's going to be interesting. Some of the stuff that U.S. authorities claimed was it could be 3 meter high waves. Well, that would really be something. So I guess we'll know after a while. But yes, we'll keep your daughter. What's her first name?
Sarah.
Okay, we'll keep Sarah in our prayers, and hopefully it'll be much about nothing, and you'll hear all about it.
Well, and she said that, I don't know. It's just a worry, but we'll pray that they're okay.
Oh, absolutely, and I think they will be, if I had to guess, from what I can tell
right.
here. So it looks...
And I love listening to your show.
Great having you.
I never miss it.
Thank you.
I live in Seneca, and I think you talked to Brian from Seneca.
Yes, absolutely.
I don't know who he is, but I hear Seneca, and my ears perk up.
All right. Well, good
but
deal.
But I do love your show, and you sound better today.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, we're back at the other studio again with another piece of equipment, so it should be working out now. Of course, I got to get the old one back and repaired and all that, but yes, so far, so good. All right, thank
and
you,
And I
Mary.
Worry about you when you say you're not well.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. No, you know, it's chronic, not acute, so don't worry. It's just just an inconvenience. All right, good to talk
Alrighty.
To you. Thanks, appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
So, good to hear from Miriam, and hopefully Sarah will be just fine, but it looks like it from what I can see, and I've been scanning this while we've been talking, and everything I'm seeing is that they're calling off the warnings, and they were expecting it to be a lot worse. But, you know, with an 8.8, yeah, you don't know what's coming. And, of course, it'll be tonight about 11:40 Pacific time when we'll know what Oregon's going to get. But so far, so good. And that is good news. Dee Dee has an update, and she's in Milwaukee. So, Dee Dee, welcome back to WGN Radio. Dee Dee, speak to me. No, we lost Dee Dee? All right, well, let's check out Marianne in Chicago. How's it going, Marianne?
Hey, Raleigh, how are you?
All right.
I've been out of touch for a while. Have you heard back from Gail?
No.
No? Just wondering how her little ribs were doing.
Yeah, no, I haven't. Hopefully we will.
Yeah, now that I said her name. Gail, call if you're listening.
Yeah, tell us about those ribs. All right.
And we never heard anything else from Leah.
Well, no, I haven't. But from what I understand, Leah just was looking for a show that was a little more political in nature.
Okay, so she didn't pass away or anything. That's good.
No. From what I can tell, she's absolutely healthy, and that's wonderful. And,
okay, good.
Hopefully she found something she really wants to hear, and she's welcome to call any time, but I understand that. You know, you kind of burn out on one thing, and you say, well, I want to do something different for a while. So that's what I think is going on.
Did you pay attention to the end of the news and weather right before you came back on?
No, I wasn't in the room.
Well, I guess we're having a tsunami because they expect 3 to 5 foot waves on all the beaches.
No. No, you're right. No. All right. Very good.
You know, there was one years ago.
Well, there are so many things that can affect the tides, obviously. And yes, I don't blame them for being on alert when something as powerful as an 8.8 strikes anywhere. But as I say, it doesn't look like this will be a big thing. The maximum intensity has already hit Hawaii, as far as anybody knows. And
okay.
You know, so, and like I say, do an Oregon about 11:20 Oregon time tonight. But I don't think so. I think that it's okay.
Well, years ago, one hit Lake Michigan when all these fishermen went out on Lake Horseshoe Pier.
Yeah.
And it didn't dawn on them, wow, how come we can see the ground?
Wow.
And then, boom, it came back with a fury, wiped them all out. But what they did after that was they put a metal bar down the middle of the pier.
Mm-hmm.
So people had to hang on, they could hang on.
Okay.
But, I mean, we haven't seen that since, it was probably like the 1910s or 20s.
Yeah, and hopefully not again. Yeah, this particular quake was 11 miles underground. So I think that makes a difference, too, probably.
It could be. Sometimes I wonder if it's like the closer you are to the actual quake, that the smaller the waves are because they haven't had a chance to build yet.
No, I don't know that that's true necessarily. I think if you're really close to something in the eights, you're gonna have a world of trouble. The waves may be the least of your trouble. Yeah, it's not good. But when something's in the middle of the ocean and you're talking something 11 miles deep, I don't blame them for being on alert, but it doesn't look like much is going to come of this.
Well, one year when I was in Aruba,
yeah,
I was out on the balcony and I'm like looking at the sunrise, and I mean it was as red as a traffic light.
Mm-hmm.
Then I heard this big crash, and I turn around and look at the ocean.
Ooh.
And these huge waves were coming in. There had been an offshore earthquake off of Venezuela.
Yeah.
Which is not that far.
Yeah.
The water went up to it. It didn't get as far as the pool. It, made a little lake out of the volleyball area. All the seaweed that was up on the shore from that. And it was unbelievable how fast they cleaned up that beach.
I'll bet.
And me and my son are sitting there with a plastic bag picking up all these seashells.
Oh,
well, we don't even have to move. People were finding, like, little lobsters, starfish. I was like, holy cow. But, you know, if there ever was a big tsunami, that island is screwed because it's at sea level.
Yeah.
There's one mountain, and not everybody on the island will fit on that mountain.
Yeah. You never know. You just never know what's coming, period.
Yeah.
I think you can't really worry much about it. Obviously, you want to be on alert if you think something is en route, but other than that, I think you just have to take your chances. There's no perfect place.
Oh, no. No. But let me get to my request.
All righty.
Would you mind, and I know it might not be tonight because you're playing your guy, something by Chuck Mangione?
Oh, okay. Maybe.
I mean, if you don't like him.
No, it's not that I don't like him. The stuff like Feel So Good was, and I mentioned this when he passed away. I said, oh, God, don't tell me I have to play this. Because it was such a hit that it was played ad nauseum. You know, you heard it and you heard it and you heard it and you heard it. And
yeah.
It was funny for him, or maybe not so funny for him, but the real hardcore jazz folks really kind of thought, oh, well, he's just a pop sensation, you know, and a lot of the pop people, oh, he's a jazz guy. So he was, for a while, a man with no format, so to speak. But Feel So Good. And then the thing that was the theme song for the Olympics, yeah, you just heard him nonstop. So I don't know. We'll see.
That's what turned me off of ABBA.
Oh, everything turned me off of ABBA. They didn't have
back
to do
anything.
Back
in the day, over and over and over, and Dancing Queen, oh, my God, Fernando, Dancing Queen.
Yeah.
I was like, to this day, when I hear him, goes to another station.
Yep. Well, you're not alone.
Okay, I know.
All right, thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
All right, so indeed. Yeah, ABBA, please, don't start me. Yeah, Art Bell used to love ABBA. I don't know what was wrong with that man. But of course, if you look on a map at where that quake was, and again, remember you're talking about 11 miles deep, but obviously there were warnings in Alaska to say say the least. And, yeah, a lot closer than Hawaii as far as that goes for where the epicenter was. But so we'll see as the evening goes on. But right now, I want to talk about the Sea Crane Company and the CC Radio 2E. Just a marvel. And I always say, I don't have to sell it. Just take your average radio and tune to a weak AM radio station. Then take the CC Radio 2E and tune to the same station, and it's going to sell itself. It'll just knock it out of the water. And the entire radio is designed for reception, like everything that Bob Crane designed. But in this case, it is really, the emphasis is on receiving AM and FM stations just better, making weak signals stronger. That simple. It's not going to pick up things that aren't over your head to begin with, but if any radio can pick it up, this radio can pick it up better. It's that simple. And it's got really nice audio, too, and you can adjust it. It's got a dial light and a clock and a timer and alarm and presets, all the bells and whistles. It also has the weather band and a weather alert, which makes it for a good emergency radio as well. You can read all about it at ccradio.com. Look at the CC Radio 2E. If you want more information and for some reason you can't go online, well, you can give them a call. They've got terrific customer service. 800-522-8863. 800-522-TUNE. 24 hours a day. And yeah, a lot of things to look at if you check out the catalog. But pay attention to that CC Radio 2E. It's got that wonderful twin coil ferrite AM antenna. So not only exceptional reception, but also just a really nice audio quality to it that you can adjust to whatever you want. If you want to be warmer, you know, you can do all that. And so it's my bedside companion. I just love it. They give you an AC power cord, but you can also run it on 4D batteries. And you'll get about 250 hours out of that at moderate volumes and with the display light off. So, yeah, it's going to last you. That's the CC Radio 2E, ccradio.com. You tell them Raleigh sent you from WGN Radio.
Counting sheep when you're trying to sleep, being fair. When there's something to share, being neat. When you're folding a sheet. That's mathematics. When a ball bounces off of a wall, when you cook from a recipe book, when you know how much money you owe. That's mathematics. How much gold can you hold in an elephant's ear? When it's noon on the moon, then what time is it here? If you could count for a year, would you get to infinity or somewhere in that vicinity? When you choose how much postage to use, when you know what's the chance it will snow, when you bet and you end up in debt, oh, try as you may, you just can't get away from mathematics. Andrew Wiles gently smiles, does his thing, and voila, QED, we agree, and we all shout hurrah. As he confirms what Fermat jotted down in that margin, which could have used some enlarging. Tap your feet, keep in time to a beat of a song, while you're singing along, harmonize with the rest of the guys. Yes, try as you may, you just can't get away from mathematics.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. More Tom Lehrer, the stuff you usually don't hear. And of course, next hour we'll play the stuff you do hear as well, because there's always requests for things like the masochism tango. Yeah, you can't... Yeah, the Vatican Rag, perhaps, and on it went. A few short years and so many wonderful things, and 97, a life well lived. But he'll live on for many of us, just great, great stuff. So Tom Lehrer. All right, 888-876-5593. We got another 2 hours to spend together, and of course I was paying no attention when Bob told me what time we went out, so it's probably about right now on WGN Radio.
Another big news story of the year concerned the Ecumenical Council in Rome, known as Vatican II. Among the things they did in an attempt to make the church more commercial was to introduce the vernacular into portions of the Mass to replace Latin and to widen somewhat the range of music permissible in the liturgy. But I feel that if they really want to sell the product in in this secular age, what they ought to do is to redo some of the liturgical music in popular song forms. I have a modest example here. It's called The Vatican Rag. First you get down on your knees, fiddle with your rosaries, bow your head with great respect and genuflect, genuflect, genuflect. Do whatever steps you want if you have cleared them with the pontiff. Everybody say his own, Kyrie eleison, doing the Vatican rag. Processional, step into that small confessional. There, the guy who's got religion will tell you if your sin's original. If it is, try playing it safer. Drink the wine and chew the wafer. 2, 4, 6, 8. Time to transubstantiate. So get down upon your knees, fiddle with your rosaries, bow your head with great respect and genuflect, genuflect, genuflect. Make a cross on your abdomen. When in Rome, do like a Roman. Ave Maria. Gee, it's good to see you. Getting ecstatic and sort of dramatic and doing the Vatican rag.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. More Tom Lehrer. Yeah, from That Was the Year That Was. Indeed. All right. So, yeah, rest in peace, Tom. And we will never forget you. That was one of the neat things about Dr. Demento. He introduced a world of people who had not been around when Tom Lehrer was active musically because he played so many of those wonderful things. And I know that one of the people listening was Fran, so we're going to definitely talk to her. But right now, Naoto is in Japan. All right, Naoto, what do you know about this tsunami?
Yeah, apparently it seems like it's not that severe. Like the maximum height was probably like 50 centimeters.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So where you are, has there been any damage?
Not really.
Okay, all right.
So, yeah, but they are predicting like maximum of 3 meters of tsunami.
Yeah, but now, in Japan, have you already experienced the worst of it? I mean, because you're relatively close, comparatively anyway, are you still waiting?
Oh, you mean
has the maximum point of impact for Japan already passed?
Yeah, it seems like so.
Yeah, okay. All right. And any report of any major damage?
I don't think we have that much of a damage.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's sort of what I thought, too. You know, originally I thought that the maximum point had already already hit Hawaii, but then I realized, oh, wait a minute. With daylight savings, Hawaii is 3 hours behind Los Angeles, so I guess we won't know what the maximum intensity is for another 40 minutes or so. So that'll be interesting to see.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'm glad you're safe. That's good to hear.
Well, thank you.
And thank you for checking in. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Okay, bye. So good to hear from Naoto, and all's well there. And I would think that time-wise, that probably whatever they were going to experience, they already have. But for Hawaii, yeah, when Miriam called, and her daughter Sarah, of course, evacuating, the maximum impact hadn't hit yet. So maybe an hour from now or so, and I'd forgotten all about the fact that, you know, daylight savings, which they do not have in Hawaii. So that pushes the time difference to 3 hours in the summer from L.A. So it should be, you know, about an hour from now, I guess, we'll be hearing more. And from what I can tell, I was expecting we'd hear from Alaska. The only friend I have who's still there is a good friend who's in Valdez, and that's pretty far away. And John actually just sent him a text, so who knows? Maybe we'll hear from Chris, or maybe we won't. But I don't think it's gotten to Valdez yet. But Valdez certainly is on the water. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888, Raleigh. And Jim is in Richmond. Hello, Jim.
Hi. I called right at the beginning of the show to tell John that you're crystal clear tonight.
Yeah, we know.
You were worried about the new equipment.
No, we know. We absolutely know. You see, the problem is that's good news and bad news. The good news is that, yeah, it's the fault of the equipment. The bad news is I got to get it in for repair and all that other things, and now going studio to studio, I have to lug a codec with me. So,
yes,
you know, I figure it'll be about a month.
Right. And because Wednesday and Thursday was terrible in reception.
I understand. Absolutely.
Can I tell you what's happening here?
Yes. What's going on? Tell me.
First off, I had a wonderful Friday.
Good. Did you see? Saw your grandson?
Yes.
Okay.
And it was fantastic.
All right. Good.
We went to a restaurant. Turned out that was where my sister-in-law used to work.
Oh.
And we were there. And this guy is going to be, on August 2nd, he'll be 17 months old.
Uh-huh.
But he's lower in weight and lower in height than he should be. But he, you know, had those problems when he was little.
Mm-hmm.
And we were sitting there, and we were watching him put away French fries like you've never seen. And then hash browns.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not hash browns. Nuggets.
Okay.
You know, and stuff like that. And it was fantastic. But the problem was I had just got out of the doctor's office.
Sure.
From getting my shot in the eye.
Yeah.
And being dilated. And everything was blurry, tremendously blurry because of the dilation.
Sure.
And that was, you know, that was a little frustrating to me, and my brother had to lead me out, you know,
okay,
as if I was totally blind in
right.
and out of the restaurant.
Okay.
But it was really nice. We went to a restaurant. It turned out my sister-in-law used to work there.
Okay.
So the bill for lunch for everybody was $96, and then the restaurant comped it.
Oh, wow, how nice.
Yes, and then you know, and that was that. I got pictures and everything. I am so
good.
Happy.
I'm very pleased. That's great.
Right. And my son turns to me and he goes, "We don't know what's going on here, but he has red hair and blue eyes."
Okay.
And they both have dark hair and dark eyes.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. You know how that is. Genetics skip all sorts of generations. It can be any way in the world. They didn't think
right.
that at first when they discovered that, so there were always a bunch of kids who were kind of, you know, very embarrassed when a teacher would say, well, two blue-eyed parents can't have a brown-eyed child. Well, of course they can.
Right.
So there's so much we don't know. So blue eyes and red hair sounds like a splendid combination.
And then also, what is this earthquake? Because there was nothing on the
okay,
ABC
it's,
news.
It's not, yeah, it's this was 11 miles underground off the coast of Russia. And if you think about Russia, think about it up toward the Bering Sea, like more toward Alaska up there. And
right.
And that's where it was. But it was 11 miles underground, but it was 8.8. Now, when you're talking about
right.
something of that magnitude, the tsunami warnings have gone off everywhere. Well, we just heard from Naoto
right.
in Japan. They have not had, you know, much of a problem. We're going to know in an hour what Hawaii has. So far, Hawaii hasn't had anything other than 1 to 3 foot surf, which is about average. But we'll know in an hour where they are. They're doing some evacuations.
Right.
It's scheduled to hit Los Angeles about 1 in the morning and Oregon about 11:30 at night. So tonight. So
It will go that far?
Yes, it will. Absolutely. Now, the interesting thing about underground activity like this, like a lot of people are thinking, well, how about the cruise ships? Those people are goners. No. Ships in deep water are probably not going to experience much of anything because the waves manifest on the coasts. So it's the people who are right on the coast who are going to get the brunt of it. But how much
right.
that is, well, we don't know yet. And it's just forecasts at this point. So we'll see. I'll be curious. Like I say, so far they're doing evacuations in Hawaii, as we heard from Miriam, her daughter Sarah, being evacuated. But the real moment of impact will be about an hour from now.
Right.
So
and,
we'll see.
And I'm only asking because my friend, who's real close to me, she keeps track of all the earthquakes. She says when there's an earthquake at one point on the globe, there's going to be another major earthquake on the other side of the globe.
Yeah, there's many people. So, there's many people who think that, but we'll see what happens as far as that goes. But like I say, they did evacuations in Japan, and so far, from Naoto's call, wasn't that much of an issue. But it's strong at 8.8. That's very strong. But of course, being 11 miles underground, that's some mitigating factor.
Right, and that's the largest that I've ever heard.
Wasn't Anchorage a 9?
I didn't know that. I know that 1960. San Francisco.
Yeah, that was earlier, really before the. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that Alaska, and that was 1964. That was a 9.2, and that was
right.
That was on Good Friday. Boy, I remember that like it was yesterday. And so the epicenter there was Prince William Sound. But, man, I'll tell you, Anchorage felt that big time. So, yeah.
And then lastly, I don't want to take your time, but I went and I had my pre-exam today for my surgery on the 12th.
Good.
So
hopefully it was uneventful.
Oh, no, this is... All she did was ask me a million questions, listen to my heart and lungs, and says, "You're passed."
Okay.
You know?
All right. Well, that's
and
good.
Then, and then took blood. That was it.
All right.
But I'm very upset because I got a bill from the anesthesiologist for $563.
Well, that's not unusual. Anesthesiologists usually don't accept the allowable charges. But I'll tell you what, the one bill you should pay is the anesthesiologist. That's the person who kept you alive.
Right, because I have to go see her again on August 12th.
It's money well spent.
Right.
All right.
And
well, good luck.
Thank you.
All right,
and
thanks.
I've been listening. I haven't called, but I've been listening. And thank you very much for all the
all
help
right.
you've given
well,
me.
And congratulations for seeing your grandson. That's wonderful.
Oh, I loved it more than anything in the world.
That's great. All right. Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it.
Bye.
All right. So good news there, hopefully. Certainly good news that Jim saw the family. But, I don't care what a surgery is. An upcoming surgery is never anything you really look forward to, no matter how you slice and dice that. But, yeah, that was 9.2 in Anchorage. Like I say, it was off the coast. But, man, and there wasn't, like, tsunami damage. But there was so much damage in downtown Anchorage that 9.2. All right, so we'll get to Fran. We'll get to Laura. We'll get to you, I hope, on WGN Radio.
I love my friends, and they love me. We're just as close as we can be. And just because we really care, whatever we get, we share. I got it from Agnes, she got it from Jim. We all agree it must have been Louise who gave it to him. Now she got it from Harry, who got it from Marie. And everybody knows that Marie got it from me. Giles got it from Daphne, she got it from Joan, who picked it up in County Cork, a kiss in the Blarney Stone. Pierre gave it to Sheila, who must have brought it there. He got it from Francois and Jacques. Aha! Lucky Pierre. Max got it from Edith, who gets it every spring. She got it from her daddy, who just gives her everything. She then gave it to Daniel, whose spaniel has it now. Our dentist even got it, and we're still wondering how. Ah, but I got it from Agnes, or maybe it was Sue, or Millie, or Billy, or Jilly, or Willie, it doesn't matter who. It might have been at the pub, or at the club, or in the loo, and if you will be my friend, then I might, mind you, I said might, give it to you.
Pretty tame by today's time, but to put this in perspective, this was written and performed by Tom Lehrer in 1952. All right, it was done in musical reviews after that with slightly revised lyrics and all of that, but yeah, 1952. So I can only imagine the look on people's faces in the audience with that. We've got Laura in Willowbrook. Welcome back to WGN Radio, Laura. We lost Laura in Willowbrook. Oh, well. Bye, Laura. I don't blame you. I wouldn't have waited that long either. Is Fran in Austin still with us? Hello, Fran.
I'm still here.
Oh, good.
It's funny. Last night, I was when you were talking about you were going to play Tom Lehrer, yeah. I turned to Gary and I said, I wonder if she's going to play I Got It From Agnes.
Of course. Of course. How could I not? Yes.
You did not let me down.
No, absolutely. Yeah, that's why, you know, at the beginning I did the math songs and all that, because those are the things you don't hear as often. And for whatever reason, I Got It From Agnes is not played as often. And come on, he wrote this in 1952. Of course he should be able to play it.
Yeah, I would say so. But yeah. I didn't hear that one until later. It's funny because I got, that was the year that was, uh-huh, as a Christmas present. And that was the first I had heard of him.
Oh, really?
And I mean, I played it over and over and over and over. And I especially love to get my grandmother mad by playing the Vatican Rag.
Of course. of course.
But I like a lot of the stuff that he did. I don't know whether it was for, it was like Silent E and L.Y.
Right.
And that one that you played about mathematics.
Right.
And I can't remember what, I think it was it Electric Company or Sesame Street or one of those shows he did those for.
Did he really? And no, I didn't realize by then he was doing anything. Now, that's interesting.
That's what I heard, and I didn't hear them until I...
Silent E, he did. Now, I wonder, because that was 74, and he had already kind of given up by then. But, some of that stuff on Electric Company, I mean, there's a Mel Brooks thing in it as well. But that is Silent E. I should look that up, yeah.
Yeah, Silent E and L.Y., was another one, and I didn't hear those until I got a boxed CD set, because I had all the albums. I had An Evening Wasted. I had That Was the Year That Was.
Right.
I had The Worst of Tom Lehrer. I mean, I had them all. And in fact, the one that you played about mathematics reminds me of a funny story, because I am terrible at math. I mean, to me, math is just a five-letter word. I'm awful at it. And, you know, I hated it, and I think it was partially the way I was taught it, but...
It was definitely the way you were taught it. But most of us always said, damn, math is so exact and I'm so approximate.
But one time I was, when my ex-husband and I were together and we were having some financial problems. And
oh, by the way, I got to interrupt you. I blew the news again. So hang on. Don't go away.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Stay right where you are.
One man deserves the credit. One man deserves the blame. And Nikolai Ivanovich Lobachevsky is his name. Hi, Nikolai Ivanovich Lobachevsky. I am never forget the day I first meet the great Lobachevsky. In one word, he told me the secret of success in mathematics. Plagiarize. Plagiarize. Let no one else's work evade your eyes. Remember why the good Lord made your eyes, so don't shade your eyes, but plagiarize, plagiarize, plagiarize. Only be sure always to call it, please, research. And ever since I meet this man, my life is not the same. And Nikolai Ivanovich Lobachevsky is his name. Hi, Nikolai Ivanovich Lobachevsky. I am never forget the day I'm given first original paper to write. It was on analytic and algebraic topology of local Euclidean metrization of infinitely differentiable Riemannian manifold. Boże moi. This I know from nothing. What I'm going to do.
I think of great Lobachevsky and I get the idea. Ha ha! I have a friend in Minsk who has a friend in Pinsk, whose friend in Omsk has friend in Tomsk with friend in Akmolinsk. His friend in Alexandrovsk has friend in Petropavlovsk, whose friend somehow is solving now the problem in Dnipropetrovsk. And when his work is done, ha-ha, begins the fun. From Dnipropetrovsk to Petropavlovsk, by way of Ilyinsk and Novorossiysk, to Alexandrovsk, to Akmolinsk, to Tomsk, to Omsk, to Pinsk, to Minsk, to me the news will run. Yes, to me the news will run. And then I write by morning, night, and afternoon, and pretty soon my name in Dnipropetrovsk is cursed. When he finds out, I publish first. And who made me a big success and brought me wealth and fame? Nikolai Ivanovich Lobachevsky is his name. Hi, Nikolai Ivanovich Lobachevsky. I am never forget the day my first book is published. Every chapter I stole from somewhere else. Index I copy from old Vladivostok telephone directory. This book was sensational. Pravda. Well, Pravda said Gilbil Kalorika dat prinyam lachajila. It stinks. But Izvestia. Izvestia said, Ya idu kuda sam tsar idiot peshkom. It stinks. Metro Goldwyn Moskva buys the movie rights for 6 million rubles, changing title to The Eternal Triangle, with Ingrid Bergman playing part of Hypotenuse. And who deserves the credit and who deserves the blame? Nikolai Ivanovich Lobachevsky is his name.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. So yeah, that was 1951, actually. And there was Nikolai Ivanovich Lobachevsky. It was never intended to be a slur on his character, though his family was not pleased. But it was simply because the name rhymed with what he was trying to do. And it actually was kind of an adaptation of a routine that Danny Kaye used to do with, about Konstantin Stanislavski. And there's a whole bit on that, if you've ever seen Danny Kaye do it, where he does the routine from the perspective of a famous actor who applies Stanislavski's secret to method acting. And the secret is one word, it's suffer. All right, but in any event, so he kind of thought of that and did a play on it. But like I say, Lobachevsky existed. Still funny stuff. All right, so we're talking to Fran from Austin. Sorry about the interruption. So we're...
No problem. Yeah. I was wondering if there was actually such a person as
yes.
that. So now
yes.
I know.
Yes. Oh, yes. And he absolutely did not. He was a Russian mathematician, and it was geometry, hyperbolic geometry. Which actually, if you remember, it's non-Euclidean. If you remember this, it was a Lobachevskian geometry and derelict integrals, you know, all that stuff. So, yeah, he absolutely, some called him the Copernicus of geometry. But so, you know, and of course,
plagiarized.
See, but the good news, see, is his family, his descendants, and I mean descendants. This guy was born in like the end of the 1700s and died in the middle 1800s. So, I mean, he was long, long dead. But even so, the name lived on, and some of the family members were like not pleased.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
But anyway, I was telling a story about. Because you were playing that that's mathematics.
Yeah.
And it reminded me, because I have always been really bad at math. I mean, just abysmal. And so my ex-husband was out of work, and, you know, we're trying to figure out, you know, how much of this bill we have to pay and how much
right.
of that we can get away with, you know, and all this. And we're going through this stuff. And I said, well, if we pay this much on this, and that'll leave us this and that, and then da-da-da-da, you know, and I'm just going on like, you know, just nonstop about, you know, how much we can pay of this and how much we can pay of that. And he looked at me and he said, I thought you said you couldn't do math. And I said, I can't.
Right.
And he said, but you're just sitting there rattling off, you know, how much we can pay of this and that and the other thing. I said, that's money.
Oh, yeah.
You know, perfectly serious, like, that's not math, that's money.
Right.
And we must have laughed about that for I don't know how long.
That is great.
And
yeah,
you know, so it's like, okay, well, that's money, you know.
Well, actually, had it been me, I just would have said, that's arithmetic, that's not math.
But I'm not even good at arithmetic. I mean, I'm, you know,
oh, geez.
terrible.
It's just memorization. Really, nothing more than memorization. But, you know, when he came out with new math, I had to laugh because, you know, sometimes when I'm bored, I'll be looking at numbers and I'll just sit there and change them into different bases. And when that came out, I was like, oh, my God. You know, so, yeah. Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, I was around when they went to the new math.
Well.
And, oh, my God. You know, it was like. I used to laugh at the part about, because I remember one time I did these problems and I got all the right answers, but I couldn't really, you know, he would have the other students, write how they got there.
Right, right.
And, I couldn't really do that so that he could read it. So, you know. I had the right answers,
right?
But he didn't like the way I did it. You know, he said I was doing it the wrong way.
Right,
and
right.
I said,
or no,
I got the right answer.
That's exactly
so
right.
I think of that every time he says, you know, the idea is to understand what you're doing rather than to get the right answer.
Yeah, well, exactly. And there are so many jokes along that line. But 100%, it doesn't matter if you can elucidate it. You got the right answer. That's all that matters to me.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he said, well, you'll need to do this a different way when you get into more complex problems.
Why?
Okay, when he said that, I thought, okay, you know, I'm going to flunk this class. I just know it.
Yeah, they never made it fun. And there were so many things about arithmetic that are fun, you know, like in base 10, the number 9 being so magical. They never taught you how to cast out 9s to check addition. And they never taught you that, you know, 9 times anything, if you add the numbers across, will always equal 9. And all those other things that to an 8-year-old is fun. But they don't teach you that.
No, you have to do it their way or the highway.
And, not good.
You know, I'm not a their way or the highway kind of person, I guess.
Yeah, right.
I don't know.
Right.
But I just, you know, was, and actually there was one substitute teacher who got it, and he said, Fran, he said, one of the problems I think, he said, are you dyslexic?
Uh-huh.
And I said, you know, not that I know of, and this was when I was going, when I'd gone back to college, and
right.
I said, you know, not that I know of, and so, because he said, the problems you're having sound very much like dyslexia, and then I remembered that I had a lot of trouble learning Braille.
Uh-huh.
I would get my letters backwards and stuff like that, and I had to go to summer school and take Braille classes and,
oh.
You know, all this stuff. And, you know, all my friends were just, I was held back in second grade because I was having trouble learning Braille. But they don't have any, or they didn't have, I don't know if they do now, have any tests to determine with blind people, you know, when or if they have dyslexia.
Yeah, absolutely. And that makes sense,
so,
too, because that clearly is, you know, we think about it, you know, it's all about can you see, but it's not. It's a mental gymnastic.
Yeah, and I know I have it, and I know, you know, like an 8 is an opposite of a 0 in
okay.
Braille. So sometimes I'll write a phone number down or I'll write something down and I'll write, an 8 instead of a 0. And what I had to do when I was being a switchboard operator, I didn't want anybody to know I had a problem with this.
Of course.
So I would write an 8 or a 0 underneath it and see if it lined up.
Okay. Well, that's
you
a
know,
good trick.
And I found all kinds of little tricks to cover
yeah.
that, but I was finally tested, and the only thing they could say was that I have poor spatial relationship concepts.
Well, no kidding. Gee, I wonder,
you know, so
why.
That's why, like,
yeah.
If I go somewhere, I have to write down turn for turn.
Yeah.
And I have to write it down coming back because I can't reverse the route in my head, whereas Gary, you know, can flip it.
Okay.
And,
yeah.
You know, do that very well. So, you know, what he makes up for my lack of mobility skills and
right.
You know, I'm a better questioner, I guess, or something. I don't know.
But, right. That works.
Know, we get it done. You
exactly.
Know, we get it done. That's the thing that counts. We get it done.
Exactly. That's good.
you know, but anyway, I'm loving this Tom Lehrer, and I especially, you know, some of the stuff that I hadn't heard, you know, when I got that box set, I found all that stuff that I don't know what, whether it was for Electric Company or Sesame Street or some of that. And I had heard you say something about, you know, he hadn't done anything, but I know those shows were in the 70s.
Yeah, 74. It's true. And he supposedly, and this is probably true, he stopped performing in 72. I would not be surprised, because academic was really his life, that he would, you know, he would have been willing to be part of that, you know, and it wasn't like a stage show as far as that is. So, yeah.
And I was interested in, you said he did not want to talk about his music. And
If you were taking math from him, do not go in there and ask him about the music.
Wow.
Yeah, that was just, no, it was it, absolutely not. And it was interesting, like I say, when you read the reviews, because they have all those things online about rate your professors, it really ranged from the people who just thought he was the bee's knees to the other people who thought he was just, you know, boring. So it ran the entire gamut. But I would have thought it would have been a fascinating course to take.
Yeah, I wonder if he could have taught me math.
Well, he probably could have. Whether he would have been motivated or not, I don't know. Though he did, teach some. He did teach a couple of courses of math for non-math majors. So, and those I would have really liked to have heard to see how he broke that down.
Oh, that would have been great. But
yeah.
I knew somebody in my choir who went to Harvard with him or knew him or something.
Okay.
She said that every time they had a party, every time somebody had a party, he would always be at the piano, you know, doing his stuff.
Yes, yes.
That's hard to, you know, and now it's like, and he don't want to talk about it. So.
Yeah, well, I think that there was just, you know, a very much of a division in his life. He didn't see that as appropriate for the classroom. So I think it was...
No, I can understand that.
Yeah, it was
I heard him interviewed once on one of the public broadcasting stations in Santa Cruz, I think it was, KSE or one of those.
Uh-huh.
And he was talking about, you know, they were asking him, well, you know, why don't you do this anymore? And he said, because people don't have a sense of humor.
Right. Right. Exactly.
About themselves. And he gave it to the left just as much, you know, or sometimes, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I think his, you know, he punched holes in, you know, pomposity, whether no matter what side it was on.
No, that's true. He was an equal opportunity slayer as far as that goes musically, and it was wonderful. But personally, he was an avowed deep liberal. You know,
I can definitely believe that.
Yeah, that was his philosophy. And of course, you know, he was born like in 28 or whatever, and you know, growing up at that point of time and being a gay man, it's not easy. And this was, you know, a very different time. So, you know, they would, you know, interviews would always ask him, like, do you have a wife and children? And he'd say, like, not guilty on both counts, you know, things like that. And he wouldn't discuss it beyond that. So there was I can more than understand that. So there was
There
was
lot. And I didn't know, because I didn't hear of him until, like, I think, probably the mid-60s was when I got the album. When I got it from the Foundation for the Junior Blind, had these big Christmas parties, and they would give us albums and that sort of thing. And I got this thing, and I said, "Who's this Tom Lehrer?" And I put it on, and oh my God, I was just blown away. And I learned a lot from it too, because I asked, you know, it made me think about, because I didn't know some of the things that he was singing about.
Well, of course.
And so it made me want to find out.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he's not only hilariously funny, but he actually taught me a lot, because I wouldn't have thought to, you know, look up some of that stuff. I mean, you know, history, the way it was taught in my school, was boring.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
It wasn't until I got out of there that it, you know, became, well, I was, you know, pretty into it at an early age, but Tom Lehrer kind of got me looking into some things and that sort of thing. So
Yeah. You know, you mentioned history, and that's another thing of opportunity lost. That could be presented in such a way that would be more compelling than any soap opera on the air today, yet it's just dry and rote, and most people just come away from it. They remember dates and not what happened on them.
Yeah, that's, and I was terrible at that. I could do really well if I understood a concept or something like that, but just rote memorization of dates and names and when this happened and when that happened was just like, good night, I'm going to sleep, you know?
Yeah, it was interesting. He grew up in, you know, the Upper West Side of New York, basically, and he was a counselor at Camp Androscoggin, and this was a kind of an upscale Jewish camp, and in Maine. And when he was a counselor there, one of his charges was Stephen Sondheim.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So
interesting.
Absolutely. So yeah, and who always had wonderful things to say about him as far as that goes. So the other thing is that what he did during the war, because you know that never came out because it was classified, and they claimed at first that he was working on like you know nuclear or whatever, but it wasn't. It was something completely else. And I know it was discussed later that he admitted that, yeah, he was working for the NSA, but that was interesting. And he was an enlisted guy. He was drafted, you know, so that was fascinating, too. So, yeah, interesting.
Oh, there it explains that. It makes a fellow proud to be a soldier.
Well, that's right. That's it's exactly where that comes from. Yeah.
Think of all the marvelous ways they're using plastics nowadays.
Yeah, right. Right, but I would assume the electric company, probably that was right around the time he stopped doing public performances, but remember, he also did a whole fundraising tour for George McGovern that year. He was, going to, in fact, L.Y., was one he did in that. So, yeah, of course, that was on the electric company. But yeah, so interesting stuff. And so, you know, I think one of his last interviews was probably about 2008. And the Washington Post got a hold of him because he'd been retired by then for 5 years. And the writer said, "Is there anything I can print for the record?" And Lair just said, "Just tell the people I'm voting for Obama." Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So, okay. And so there's
the
deal.
That says it all.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, I mean, there was a big deal when all of his songs went into public domain. But like I say, I'm not 100% sure that the recorded versions would be fully in public domain because the labels would own those. So the songs may be in public domain.
Yeah, that's
but
tricky. Yeah,
exactly. So I've never researched it to find out because unfortunately, there aren't that many. So you can easily buy them all. And you know, later on you had rappers who sampled some of his stuff. You know, I think the old dope peddler was one and all that.
Oh, the old dope peddler,
right.
Doing well by doing good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So there you have it. And,
if I did lyrics on Trivia Night, I better not try to do Tom Lehrer because I'd get them all right.
You absolutely would. I guarantee you'd get them right. Yes, I'm spending Hanukkah in Santa Monica. Yeah, right.
Yes.
Yeah, you betcha. So.
All right. Yeah. Well, it's good to hear all this. I need the laughs tonight, so it's great to hear it.
Good. Well, my pleasure. Happy to do that. And sorry for the reason, but like I say, Dr. Domeno, we owe a debt of gratitude to him because there's a lot of people who never would have known about Tom Lehrer if it weren't for Domeno. He played the heck out of them.
Oh, he did, yeah, and so many others too.
Yeah.
I miss him. I miss him so much. I know he's online somewhere.
Well, and he's retiring this fall from online completely. He's going to hang it up.
Oh,
and, yeah, I know.
I would even pay. I would pay actual money to subscribe to his online stuff.
Right. No, it's going away. And I, you know, I've said this before, and I guess I need to be more serious about it. But I want John to call him and see whether he wants to come on the air or not, because I don't think his phone number's changed, so I should have it. Sadly, his wife passed away a few years ago. Because other than crazy music, his love was trains, and his wife worked for the train station in downtown LA. So that's where he met her. But yeah,
I got to have a nice little conversation with him once because I was upset because they weren't carrying him in my area at the time for a little while. And I called KMET, and somehow or another I got to talk to him. I can't remember what the chain of events was, but I got to talk to him for a good 15 minutes, and it was just really just great to talk to him, and he was really gracious.
Wait a minute. John's saying stop. I don't have to. They went to break.
Okay.
John's like, now. And doesn't matter. They went to break. All right. So no reason for me to rush.
That's right.
Absolutely. It's still on our stream anyway. But yeah, they completely went to break, which is the thing to do, especially at midnight. Because, you know, that's one thing. The board ops, they have a hard job with me because I can't tell time and I blow all the breaks. And, you know, sometimes it doesn't matter. But what happens when it's just about to strike midnight is any commercials that were scheduled before midnight that don't run before midnight, they don't get paid for. So the bottom line is, yes, you cut me off no matter what I'm saying to get those in there, because nothing's more important than that.
Yeah.
So no, I get, but John comes, hurry up. No, I don't have to hurry up. It already happened. All right.
Darn.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah. Right. I know. They want
we
somebody.
Did it again.
Yeah. They want somebody who can tell time. They need to get somebody else. Clearly I can't. So.
Well, I can't do math, and you can't tell time.
No, I can't.
So we're
absolutely
quite a pair.
There you go. Absolutely. something about that. Well, it's so good to hear from you.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Okay, good. Okay, bye.
Well, speaking of bombs, what is it that makes America the world's greatest nuclear power? And what is it that will make it possible for us to spend $20,000 million of our taxpayers' money to put some idiot on the moon? Well, it was the great, enormous superiority of American technology, of course, as provided by our great American scientists, such as Dr. Werner von Braun. Gather round while I sing you of Werner von Braun, a man whose allegiance is ruled by expedience. Call him a Nazi, he won't even frown. Nazi schmatzi, says Werner von Braun. Don't say that he's hypocritical, say rather that he's apolitical. Once the rockets are up, who cares where they come down? That's not my department, says Werner von Braun. Some have harsh words for this man of renown, but some think our attitude should be one of gratitude, like the widows and cripples in old London town, who owe their large pensions to Werner von Braun. You too may be a big hero, once you've learned to count backwards to zero. In German or the English, I know how to count down. And I'm learning Chinese, says Werner von Braun.
So there you have it. And yes, there's absolutely no truth that Tom Lehrer was sued by Werner von Braun or his family, and that he had to divest royalties and all that. Absolutely no truth to that whatever. So there was no libel suit. But there were plenty of hurt feelings as far as that goes. But just loved him. So rest in peace, Tom Lehrer. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. And I mentioned my buddy Chris in Valdez would probably know exactly what was going on, especially since right on the water there, we'd find out something about the tsunami warning. So, Chris, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Yourself?
All right. So, you're certainly in the know. If there's anything to know, what's going on with the tsunami warnings?
Well, as far as the tsunami warnings go, the little town of Valdez, where I'm located, has been taken off the list. Kind of hard for a wave to make multiple 90-degree turns and get into. So. we're kind of safe up here.
Yeah, yeah, I would think so. But what are you hearing in terms of obviously the Aleutian Islands? But I mean, any of the mainland? Have you heard anything?
As far as Alaska goes, just anything that would be open right along the coast itself.
Yeah.
And potentially, you know, anything that's facing the Russian Kamchatka Peninsula would be areas that would be of most concern.
Oh, absolutely. But I'm curious because it's just about time for it for, you know, whatever's going to happen to be there. And I'm curious if it's much about nothing or if stuff is really going on.
I think at this point, it's more much about nothing.
Okay, good.
My wife just handed me screenshots of what she had. I mean, it was supposed to have been 9:02, 9:05 for Valdez. Well, mm-hmm. We're there now. It's not happening. We
yeah.
don't have it here.
Yeah.
And I'm not really hearing anything.
That coincides with what I've been hearing, too. Same with Hawaii. I realize it's still a few minutes from when, you know, the absolute epicenter of this time-wise is supposed to be. But I have not yet heard of anything, you know, really astounding, which is good news. Of course, Los Angeles has got the warnings until 1 a.m. this morning, so we'll see what happens there. But it was a fine excuse to see what you've been up to lately. How are things going?
Going very well. Enjoying the job I have so far, and the ability to tout that my company, the telephone company here, is the only gigabit certified provider in the state of Alaska.
Oh, that's great. Symmetrical, no doubt.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I dream of it. That's wonderful. Yeah, yeah. So far, it's an elusive dream, but yeah, that's terrific. Well, yes, we should definitely talk off the air because I'm still not getting updates, and you know what I'm talking about. So we will fix that eventually,
yep.
I hope. All right. Well, good to hear from you. Glad that everything's safe and all's well.
Yes, good to hear from you, too.
All right. Talk to you soon. Thanks. Appreciate it, Chris.
Alrighty.
All right, mm-hmm. So there you have it, right from somebody sitting in Valdez. And I would say that, I want it to continue that way, much about nothing. That's exactly what we want to hear. So I think when I was looking, I think we're 3 minutes away from the time-wise center of this for Hawaii, because they're saying 7:17, and I think we're... Excuse me. 3 minutes. I know I've got switches to stop that, but you know, hey, we'll find out what's happening with that too, and of course, what's happening with you. So let's see. Jane is in Milwaukee, and she has a request. So, what do you want to hear, Jane?
I did you ever hear Mickey Finn?
Mickey Finn?
Yeah, she was a ragtime piano player, and they had a banjo player back in the early '60s. I don't know the names of the songs because I was just a young kid. Would you play something by Mickey Finn? She was a blonde-haired lady that looked something like when they used to have that polka show with, I can't remember his name, that used to be on the air and had that kind of music. Do you remember?
Yeah. Well, you're thinking about Lawrence Welk?
Right.
Yeah. Interesting. And of course, interesting name, Mickey Finn, which obviously...
I know it sounds funny.
Well, the drink and the nightclub and everything else, of course. But yeah, she was around. That is absolutely ragtime stuff. So
they played that at work way back when I first started working at the place I used to work at. I don't work there anymore now. I went through enough hell. I had two heart operations and one on my esophagus, and now I'm retiring, and I just no more of that.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
No, the stuff they put you through is, oh, God.
Yeah. Well, she was touring as recently as, like, 30 years ago. Yeah.
He must be OLD.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, I remember she played Utah. But, I'll see what I can find on that, Jane, and it's good to hear from you.
He played that once at work for when they had that one thing once a year with the ragtime music from down south. I forget the name of it.
Yeah, Dixieland music.
Yeah, because my my brain sometimes goes half dead.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll come up with something, and I will be happy to do that for you.
Okay, thank you.
All right, good deal. Thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah, Ragtime and Dixieland are cousins, as far as that goes. And like I say, she was around 30 years ago, still doing it. All right, so 888-876-5593. Okay, time to scare the living daylights out of you, don't you know? And this story comes from Bob, who was trying to keep me in line for the last 2 hours, and I appreciate that. And he left me with this. You know, we all hear those anecdotal stories about people having their organs harvested while they're still alive. Unfortunately, it's been known to happen. And apparently the Department of Health and Human Services is investigating one company after they allegedly began harvesting organs from people who weren't dead. And so there was a House subcommittee meeting earlier today on organ donation safety lapses. And this is a huge thing because, let's face it, organ donation probably more than any other single thing saves lives, period. But on the other hand, if you are hearing of some of these stories and you are concerned, the last thing you're willing to do is sign up. So when these stories come out, it really does hurt the potential of people who say, yeah, I'm going to be an organ donor. Yeah, it turns it into not on your life. And so that's why the hearings are so important, because in order for this to work, people have to have faith that they're not going to wake up. All right, well, I guess one way or another they wouldn't. So this was a deal today over a Kentucky nonprofit, Network for Hope, which merged with Kentucky Organ Donor Affiliates, CODA. And there was a guy who is still alive now, T.J. Hooker, who had suffered a drug overdose, and he was declared brain dead. And so his sister was reporting that doctors attempted to harvest his organs while he was still showing signs of life. And apparently, the honor walk, which is what happens where family members can gather to say goodbye before an organ donation surgery, during the honor walk, as it were, the patient's eyes were open, tracking movement. It was obvious to them. They were very uneasy. They wait a minute. And almost immediately as the honor walk started, the guy's eyes were opened. He was looking around at people that were there, making eye contact. It's like, what? So he's taken in, nonetheless. I think if I were the family, I'd be, you know, yelling and screaming about that time. But 45 minutes later, a doctor informs the family they had stopped the procedure. And the doctor said, I stopped it. He's not ready. He woke up. And there's a couple of whistleblowers from this organization, one who was working as a surgical preservationist, who confirmed that he showed life during the procedure. He was moving around a lot. He was thrashing. He was not settled. And this is after being administered all the drugs that would, basically render you, almost comatose, you know, not able to move for sure. Well, apparently, the declaring physician there said he's showing too many signs of life to continue with this. Now, apparently, this fellow's sister didn't know the full extent of what was happening there until she was contacted by another surgical preservation coordinator who was scheduled for this procedure. And she said, I was really surprised that he was taken to the lab for this, because he was paralyzed, he was sedated, and he was moving on, but he was absolutely alive. And she said the hospital staff was alarmed, calling it euthanasia. The cardiologist said he didn't know why this patient was given such a poor prognosis, because it didn't look to him like he was brain dead. And anyway, the two whistleblowers resigned from CODA shortly after the case. And meanwhile, TJ came back to the living with, thank God, all his organs intact, but now has a terrible case of PTSD. Gee, I wonder, really? Yeah, obviously. And the reason that the two women that I mentioned, the whistleblowers, are around is they're advocating for organ donation reform. And his sister said, TJ was able to fight for his life, and he's still here. There are others that are still here, but there's a lot of others who are not. All right, so that is the latest in the hearings, and the Network for Hope responded, basically saying we carry, this is important to us, and we keep the highest standards and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, as you'd expect, but you read these things, and like I say, the heartbreaking part is for people who are already on the fence, saying, I don't know. Stories like this makes you think maybe I won't sign that card after all. So, yeah, PTSD. So, as far as I know, other than PTSD and all that, not only is he not brain dead, but he's fully cognizant. So, yeah, there's a story to tell the family. All right, so 888-876-5593. And you thought your day was going bad, 8888 Raleigh. And that takes us to Karen in Chicago. Oh, I believe it was hip replacement surgery. What's going on with that, Karen?
Oh, mercy. Yeah, I'm going to have it on August 26th.
Congratulations.
And, how you have to go in this doctor and that doctor and every doctor you know before you can have surgery.
Yes, of course.
Oh, well, I'm finally done with that. I just have the primary care doctor, and that's the end of the whole show. And then I can go for surgery.
Okay.
Now, what has happened is they have closed the rehab center at the hospital where I go.
Okay.
And it was a wonderful rehab center. But I'm totally blind. And
Right. These
people were so cool about showing you things. And one lady, they had this hook thing that you were supposed to pull up your pants with.
Sure.
And I couldn't do it. And she created a little device with clotheslines and plastic line that I could clamp on and pull the underwear up. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. That's part of occupational therapy. And, yes, it can be wonderful.
Now I have, because I live alone and I climb steep steps. I live in a basement apartment. I have chosen to go to rehab, and I talked to my doctor about it. He said, yeah, I get it. And he said, I am going to choose the rehab center, and I'm going to be on your tail while you're there so I can kind of keep track. And if you have trouble, you call me. So I'm not as worried about it as I was.
Make sure wherever you're going, you get a private patient room.
Oh, yeah.
Not semi-private.
And another thing I don't like, I really like about being alone, I don't like people bugging me all day long.
Oh, no, I understand that, but there's a lot of reason I'm saying it. And
yeah,
a lot of these facilities are semi-private, so you want to have that hard conversation to make sure that you're not going to be put in semi-private.
Do you call them ahead of time?
Well, no, I mean, you can find out as far as that goes. you could, but now some places, if they have semi-private available, they will not give it to you except if you pay for it out of pocket. Other places that are all private, you're not going to pay an extra charge. So
I've never had a problem with St. Joseph.
Yeah.
Hospital.
But you're saying they don't do it anymore.
No, and they close. They just don't have their rehab.
Right, exactly, exactly. So right.
Yeah.
So we can't look at that right now. You're going to be looking at something else.
Yeah.
So absolutely investigate this beforehand. Don't get surprised.
Isn't Steve Bryant going to have hip surgery?
Yes, I think. And funny you mention that, because I think that Steve just had it. And
he's one of my.
Yeah,
he's
think
one of my favorites.
Oh, me too. I think that John heard from him, now that you mentioned this. It's been just a horrendous amount of crazed days, and then, having to run back to the valley and all that, that I didn't get back to him. But now that you say that, I think that Steve already had his surgery. So hopefully we'll hear from him soon.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Oh, and when Fran was talking about having a terrible time writing the new math. Well, unfortunately, I missed that. But about the same time that they did that, they decided to change the way we wrote our numbers in Braille.
Oh, God.
So the whole idea, I know. It is called Nemeth Code.
Oh, God.
And the idea is we used to write the numbers in the upper part of the cell, but now they say, no, you write the numbers in the lower part of the cell. And, of course, in Braille, numbers are actually the letters.
Of course.
You know, when the number sign before them. But what is really weird is when you start writing them in the lower part of the cell, it looks funny. It just doesn't look normal.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so glad I missed that. I have a girlfriend who got stuck with it. We're friends today, and we talk about it. And she said, that was the worst thing I ever went through.
Yeah.
She said, never saw anything like that in my life.
Yeah. What's really unfortunate, though, whenever the subject of Braille comes up, is how many young people aren't learning it.
Well, another problem is that they've decided to change it now to this UEB Braille, which is supposed to be easier to do with a computer. So what happens is all of our punctuation marks change, and what used to take one cell takes two. And the whole idea, I thought, was to make Braille so it wasn't so bulky. Now it's worse because you have all these extra space taking up by the new Braille punctuation.
Well, you know, it's interesting. For a while there, I was trying to learn some of this. A lot of my records have, Braille on them from when I worked with people who were blind. And, a friend of mine was showing me this and all this, and I'm learning all this thing. And then I come across something that I'm trying to decipher and trying. I mean, hours and hours. Finally, I said, I don't get that. Oh, that's a contraction. I said, that's it. I'm done. You know, there are no contractions. I'm sorry. No. What do you mean contraction? So, yeah.
Yeah, we learned contractions up to grade two, but then they kept going up and up, and pretty soon you couldn't read it anymore.
Yeah.
Then they went to this UEB Braille, which is supposed to be easier for people to write, translate with a computer.
Yeah, unified English Braille, right, yeah, I'm aware.
Oh, it's a mess. I hate it. I can read it, but when I write things, I write letters, or I write anything, it's old school.
Yeah, well, sure.
I still use grade two.
Sure.
I don't know how anybody can write that UEB Braille.
Well, they start out writing it as how. Changing is always a problem. You know, I learned it this way. This is the way I'll do it till I die. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, I know. I remember when they were introducing it, and they said it's designed to remove ambiguities, and I thought, what could possibly go wrong here?
Yeah, well, we found out in a big hurry. The books and all the magazines and everything are in that UEB Braille, and you have to, if you are grade two. I had a book brailled for me.
I hate to do this, but you got to hold on. I blew the news again. Don't go away.
Remember Hubert Humphrey? He used to be a senator. From time to time, you read something about him pinning a medal on somebody or making a speech, or every now and then you read something in one of those Where Are They Now columns. Whatever became of Deanna Durbin and Hubert Humphrey and so on. This became quite an issue last winter at the time of Winston Churchill's funeral when President Johnson was too ill to go and somebody suggested that he send Hubert and he said, Hubert who? And all America was singing, whatever became of Hubert? Has anyone heard a thing? Once he shone on his own, now he sits home alone and waits for the phone to ring. Once a fiery liberal spirit, but now when he speaks, he must clear it. Second fiddle's a hard part, I know, when they don't even give you a bow. We must protest this treatment, Hubert, says each newspaper reader.
As someone once remarked to Schubert, take us to your leader. Sorry about that. Whatever became of you, Hubert? We miss you, so tell us, please. Are you sad? Are you cross? Are you gathering moss while you wait for the boss to sneeze? Does Lyndon, recalling when he was VP, say, I'll do unto you like they did unto me? Do you dream about staging a coup? Hubert, what happened to you?
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Yep, Tom Lehrer, and we'll play one more. In fact, yeah, I've been playing a lot of things that you just don't hear normally, but we'll have to end it with one that hopefully everybody knows and associates with Tom Lehrer, because it's a classic, but so many good things. And, of course, he put all of his stuff into public domain about 5-6 years ago. But, again, be careful, because clearly, depending on the source, it may be copyrighted in terms of the record company or something like that. So, but nonetheless, it was all downloadable too. I'm pretty sure the website is still there, should you so desire, because it is sadly a finite group of works. It's not all that many things, but some just absolute gems. All right, so 888-876-5593. We were wrapping it up with Karen when the news happened, and I blew it again. So sorry about that, Karen. So what else?
No problem. But you were saying about people not wanting to learn Braille.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's the fault of technology. There's so much out there that's audio, and it's easier, like, okay, your teacher can say, oh, wow, you can put it on your computer and
right.
You can listen to it. Well, my problem is that I need to read it to remember it.
Yeah, I can understand that.
I can listen to something and enjoy it and maybe remember pieces of it, but if it's schoolwork or something I need to know, like on my job, I use Braille all the time when I went to meetings and stuff, because there were things I had to remember.
Sure.
And I cannot, all my phone numbers, I worked for the health department with information and referral, and I had all those numbers memorized.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. All right.
Yeah, so I would hate to see, I know there are groups, advocate groups, that are encouraging people to learn Braille and are encouraged to teach it too.
Yeah.
So I really hope that people get more interested and really want to learn something.
I agree.
Technology is hard to handle, but for me it's complicated. But if to just turn something on and listen to it, it don't work.
Right, and you know it's a very worthwhile skill and worth the time to do it. So I hope that'll change. But so many things like that seem expendable these days, like sighted kids no longer being taught cursive writing. You know, I think that's a big mistake.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so we could go on and on, you know. And I guess it comes under the heading of, I've lived too long.
That must be it.
Yeah, all right.
Thank you all for right. taking my
good,
call.
Yes, good luck. Keep me posted. You stay healthy too. I was going to suggest, you know, the best rehab hospital in the United States of America is in Chicago, and that's Shirley Ryan, the Abilities Lab. I'm just not sure.
That's the one that my doctor wants me to go to.
Oh, absolutely. If you can get in Shirley Ryan, absolutely do that. I
definitely will.
Yeah, no, if there's even a possibility of that, I just didn't know, you know, depending on the complexity of what's going on, because it's not a terribly complex thing that you're dealing with. I didn't know if they'd take you. If they will,
no,
yes. If they will, go. Absolutely go. And let me know how it is.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
You stay healthy.
Okay,
take
you too.
Care.
Okay, bye.
Talk again.
Yeah. Yeah, Shirley Ryan is the number one rehab hospital in America, period. And it is just a beautiful facility. And when John had his hemorrhagic stroke, that was the one thing I said, damn, I sure wish we were right now closer to Chicago, because that would be the place, period. All right, Pete in Sauk Village, welcome to WGN Radio.
That is a fabulous hospital.
Yeah.
And I'm who, me, biased just because I'm in the South Burbs.
Yeah.
But thank you for tonight. Thank you for being so true to the spirit of that glorious madman with music.
Yeah.
There are so many other things that could, where you could have gone wandering off and it would have been glorious too. I mean, like his music lesson on why folk music is made by the folk.
Right. Yes. Yes.
Where he tears apart, in a tavern, in a canyon, I can't think of the name of the song. Oh, well.
Yeah.
But he goes off and takes it apart and ends up in the world of Gilbert and Sullivan. And,
right.
Oh.
Yes.
Even if you could.
The folk, the folk song Army, yes.
Oh, there's another great one.
Right. We are the folk song Army. Every one of us cares.
Just imagine this is an 88-string guitar. Yeah.
Right.
But everything he did, I grew up, well, and what a wonderfully twisted soul I was. I was born in 55, and my folks raised me on Tom Lehrer music and Charles Adams cartoons.
Okay.
So I got off to a good start.
Absolutely.
And this music is just the best there is, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you played a couple things I had never heard before.
Really? Okay.
Oh, yeah. Well, my familiarity, I have to admit, is primarily the three albums.
Oh, yeah,
songs
right.
Songs by Tom Lehrer, more songs by Tom Lehrer, and that was the week that was,
right.
Or year that was.
Yeah, that was the year that was. Yeah, right. Okay.
And so, Agnes is...
I Got It From Agnes, yes, that's just a classic.
I Got It From Agnes is a classic. I had only heard part of it once before.
Yeah.
So, thank you.
Oh, sure.
Well, I'll get out of your ear and let someone else have a chance. I just wanted to call in and say thank you, and anytime you get the urge to play anything by him.
All right. I will do it. All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, so good deal. Yes, and as I say, the last one will be a very, very popular one. It probably, I think in some ways, his signature song. But, at least for me anyway. But, we will continue in the coming days to play more Tom Lehrer. I will do that because there's so many wonderful things in such a short period of time, like I say. All right, so and I'll get out some of the Electric Company stuff, too. James is on the South Side. What's happening tonight, James?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
I'm here.
Oh, that's okay. I did have a request.
Yes.
Okay, 100 pounds of clay.
Oh, okay, Gene McDaniels.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Earlier about anyway, it doesn't matter at this point, but
all right.
Okay, at least I hope it doesn't. But I had almost fallen asleep waiting on the line.
I know that feeling. Yes, I've been there myself. Yes, and it's really bad form when the host falls asleep. You know, it's just wrong. All right, so well, in the waning moments, we'll try to find out what's going on with the tsunami.
There's one thing that kind of puzzled me a little bit about this is that
when we think about
the magnitude of it. I think now, yeah, I think probably the only thing that probably meant it's probably a good thing this was so far underground.
Well, that's right. I said that before. Yeah, when you're 11 miles down, that certainly has a lot of mitigating effect on this. You betcha it does.
Yeah, and
And by the way, while we're speaking, I'm looking because it's right now when we should be hearing things, and I'm not seeing anything yet. So, like I say, hopefully it's like our buddy Chris in Alaska said, much about nothing. So we'll see.
That'll be good.
Yeah.
And let's see, there was I guess
there's always tomorrow night. We'll tell you. We'll give you plenty of time to think about it. Write it down.
Okay.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate
okay.
it. Yeah.
Okay. You take care.
You too.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I know just how he feels all the way around. Really. All right. So 888-876-5593. We'll get our final Tom Lehrer for tonight. Anyway, but certainly not the final because we'll be playing more coming up on WGN Radio.
For the touch of your lips, dear, but much more for the touch of your whips, dear. You can raise welts like nobody else as we dance to the masochism tango. Let our love be a flame, not an ember. Say it's me that you want to dismember. Blacken my eye, set fire to my tie as we dance to the masochism tango. At your command, before you here I stand, my heart is in my hand. Ugh, it's here that I must be. My heart entreats, just hear those savage beats, and go put on your cleats and come and trample me. Your heart is hard as stone or mahogany. That's why I'm in such exquisite agony. My soul is on fire, it's aflame with desire, which is why I perspire when we tango. You caught my nose in your left castanet, love. I can feel the pain yet, love. Every time I hear drums, and I envy the rose that you held in your teeth, love, with the thorns underneath, love, sticking into your gums. Your eyes cast a spell that bewitches. The last time I needed 20 stitches to sew up the gash you made with your lash as we dance to the masochism tango. Bash in my brain and make me scream with pain, then kick me once again and say we'll never part. I know too well I'm underneath your spell, so darling, if you smell something burning, it's my heart. Excuse me. Take your cigarette from its holder and burn your initials in my shoulder. Fracture my spine and swear that you're mine as we dance to the masochism tango.
WGN Radio. There it is, Tom Lehrer. Yeah, I think in some ways a signature song. When you think of him, that one comes up more often than not. But so many others that we will get to. But, oh, I just looked at the screen here, and Wayne is a first-time caller. And actually, I have one-hit wonders on my desk in my other studio right now. Wayne, thank you for writing it, and welcome to WGN again.
Wow. Again, it's been a while since I've been on with Steve and Johnny.
Yeah.
But I was going to make a suggestion. I mean, I'm in the obtusities. I don't know about this Tom guy because I was listening to WOPA and WGES.
All right.
You know, Big Bill Hill Shopping Bag Show.
Yes, yes, yes. Absolutely.
And Hal Benson. And so I wanted to suggest an obscurity, the Story Sisters and Bad Motorcycle.
Oh, yeah. I played that first before, and I'll be happy to play it again.
Oh.
You betcha. Yeah, WOPA. That was Sonderling, I think, had that. It was a wonderful little radio station.
Oh, gosh. It was just the obtuseness of it.
Yeah.
He said, let's ride that mother again.
Yes, yeah.
He'd play a song over and over, three times or whatever.
Oh, absolutely, and drop the needle down in the middle of it and all that, of course. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, it was really, and it was unpredictable, which I loved.
Yeah,
everything
absolutely.
Got too tight.
Well, yeah, I feel honored that I'm talking to you because, like I say, I love one-hit wonders. It's a lot of fun, and I think somewhere I have discoveries for record and CD collectors, if I look for that. You're in issue 76, don't you know? And so,
Toured. I was the editor for a while.
Oh, all right.
For about 2 years.
So are you based in Chicago? Are you based in Chicago?
I was born and raised, and I moved out to Carpentersville, Illinois, unfortunately. Because I got one of the world's largest record collections, about 250,000.
Oh, man.
And dating back, when the year 2000 came in, I was on New Year's Eve on with them, and I had a recording of what was in the top 10 in the year 1900. It was the American Standard Band, and we played it.
Oh, wow.
At midnight. But anyway, a lot of wonderful things. Right now, I'm up late because I'm finishing another book called 50 Years of the Almost Famous.
Oh, no kidding. Oh, man. Who are you featuring? Just give me a couple of the artists.
Okay, well, he goes way back. Everybody from Dr. Ross.
Okay.
And let's see, who else? Of course. I'm trying to think of somebody. Escarita, of course.
Yes. Who I always consider to be Escu Reader. So, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh,
a lot of that Excello guys, you know, Lonesome Sundown.
Sure.
Lightning Hopkins.
Okay.
William Harpo.
All the stuff John Ara would play.
Oh yeah, Lonesome Sundown. Yeah, did I say Sundown? Oh yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Anyway, I hope to call you in a time when there's more available or something.
Yes, I want to
put
you on hold and have John get your number and we'll call you back, and yeah, I'd like to do an evening with you. We can talk about all sorts of things.
Oh, that would be great. In the future,
yeah,
the Almost Famous and the destruction of the industry in the year 2000.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Well, maybe we won't talk about that. It's too bloody.
Yeah, but no, Almost Famous sounds wonderful. I'm going to love that. I can tell already. So when will publication date be?
When I finish it. See, I'm up late. That's why I listen to you. Sometimes I take a break out in the deck. And then I'm saying, gee, I had to call her in someday.
Yeah.
Because I like a lot of these obtuse things. In fact, that's the only that I always liked stuff on the fringe because I believed in fairness. And the industry in the capitalist system is not, you know, it's not an equal playing field. It never has been,
but back in the days when there was not big money involved, it was a lot more fun. You know, bring back George Goldner. I'd take him in a heartbeat with all of his problems.
Mm-hmm.
You know, absolutely. And there were so many denizens like that who were just colorful. And they certainly didn't know anything that had to do with accounting, and nobody got royalties. But that said, we heard things we otherwise would never have heard.
Oh, yes, that is so true. And that all kind of independent record companies pretty much died in 1970 with the right around there, gas and everybody's being sold off. You know what I mean? All those.
It was big business by then. You know, like I've mentioned many times, what the Beatles gave us had nothing to do with music and everything to do with selling albums as rock and roll, because once albums were sold, there was big money in it. And by 1970, there was huge money in it. So we can talk about that some night. And so, yeah, the independents, the guys who were spending $10 to cut two sides, that went away. All right, hang on. Well, I'm out of time, but I really want to talk to you. Don't go away, Wayne.
I know you
are. All right, good deal.
Take care, all of your listeners. Take care tonight.
All right, good deal. Thank you. All right, so this is that made my night. All right, so I'll make Adams and I'll shut up. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. Above all, I thank you for calling. We'll do it again 21 hours from now. Until then, that's a wrap. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.